Well, find your way to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. A man goes to bed in Florida, and in the middle of the night, the earth opens, and he plunges to his death and his grave over 100 feet down. His family ask, why did this happen? If anyone ever had the right to ask that question, it certainly was Job. I want you to go to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. And look at verses 25 and verse 26. Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You know what Job is saying here? Job is simply saying, life doesn't make any sense for me right now. That's what those two verses say. Job was a good man. Everyone knew he was a good man. Job knew that he was a good man. And then all of these things happened to him. And Job is asking the question here, why did this happen to me? Life is not making any sense to me right now. The most important thing when life doesn't make sense is not for us to find an answer. The important thing is what we do in response to what has happened. And ladies and gentlemen, every one of us will have some point in our life where we say, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Okay? So here's what Job did. Three important realities that we must choose when life is not making any sense. The first reality, of course, is this: trust in the loving sovereignty of God. I want you to go back to Job chapter 1, and we'll pick up the story in verse 20. Job chapter 1. And verse 20. This is after he lost his kids. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Trust in the loving sovereignty of God. God has given, God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Trusting God that way always involves worship. And Job fell upon the ground and he worshiped. Let me give you five keys to worship in our life. Worship is something that you do personally. Worship is not just when you come to church and we say we have a worship service. Worship is what you do personally. So let me give you five keys to worship in your life. First of all, give God the first part of each day. Pray in the morning. When you get up in the morning, the first thing that should come into your mind, I need to pray. And you don't have to pray for an hour or 2 hours, but you need to pray in the morning. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. We have a wonderful example of this, of course, in the Lord. Mark chapter 1 and look at verse 35. The Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, the Lord did, and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Pray in the morning. Second of all, give God the first day of every week. Serve your church to save your community, to help your community. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day is approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, that day is approaching very quickly in our life. And I mean, I'm speaking to the choir this evening. You're here. This is the first day of the week, and you're in God's house. And any time that the church, the doors are open, you need to be here and see what God has for you. And what you can do when you come in to be a blessing to other people, to just love them. Third, give God the first portion of your income. We call that the tithe, and that is important. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Paul says to this church that had so many problems, and they even had a problem receiving the offering for Pete's sake. But he addresses that, and he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He says, as an ongoing basis in your life, just bring the tithe and let the church be responsible for the disbursements, and the church accountable to you for the disbursements. And we do that, of course, at this church. Fourth, give God the first consideration in every decision. This includes household decisions, your friends, your work, your church. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Give God first consideration in every decision of your life. And last, give God first place in your heart. Live as though he were with you all the time, because, ladies and gentlemen, he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Go with me there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse 5. The Bible says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the key. You give yourself to the Lord, all of these other things will fall into place if you will do that. The second reality that Job had was this. We are to rest in the promise of the resurrection. Job chapter 19. I don't know about you, but after you read through the Bible several times, and I've read through the Bible many, many times, there are certain chapters that when you come to this chapter, you just get a smile on your face because you know what's coming. Job chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse 25. Oh, you got to love this. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Rest in the promise of the resurrection. Now John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And look at verses 28 and verse 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." That ought to be such a blessing to you, "they that have done good unto the resurrection of life in heaven forever with God." Revelation chapter 21 now. Revelation chapter 21. Let's read the first five verses. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city," oh my goodness, "New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I've had a lot of weddings through the years, and I've never seen an ugly bride. I thought I was going to one time. This old gal, she just wasn't very pretty. But I guarantee you, when she came out those doors, oh my goodness, I thought, how wonderful. She is beautiful. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true." So we are to trust, we are to rest, and the third reality is we are to confess our own lack of understanding about many of the things that happens in life. Back to Job, Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Let's read the first 10 verses here. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you think you know it all. That's a West Texas translation of that. If thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. Now, chapter 39, the first 8 verses. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. The young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who has set the wild donkey free, or who has loosed the bands of the wild donkey? Whose house I have made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwellings? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. You see what God is asking Job? Job, you need to confess your own lack of understanding about things that I'm in charge of. Now chapter 41, and look at verse 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine? Now chapter 42, and let's read the first 6 verses. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Not only are you omnipotent, but you are omniscient, is what Job is saying. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We need to confess our own lack of understanding about things too wonderful for us. And then let me remind you of this, ladies and gentlemen. Anything short of us dying and spending an eternity in hell is pure grace. That is the bottom line. Let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. And at times we are so weary of not knowing why you do what you do. But Father, help us to trust you. Help us to rest and help us, dear Father, to confess that we don't understand. We trust you. And we just ask that you might forgive us when we might become a little perturbed by the fact that we cannot understand much at all. So, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. We just ask that as we approach this week, that we might give you first place in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.